Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Interesting conclusion to our show today. On the way there, let me tell you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it is a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you, and money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com. Or you can log on to our SteinerShow.org page, and the banner is right there, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. So this came to us a really interesting story, especially we've been, as I have been, and many people of my generation especially, have been contemplating what happens as we get older. And many of us kind of looking at these world of nursing homes and going, nah, not me, I'm not going to that place. So what is the alternative? And there have to be alternatives, and there are all kinds of things that kind of block those alternatives. Well, we're talking about something the nation's covering that's happening right here in Baltimore, Maryland. It's called Aging in Place, and we'll talk about what that means. Dr. Sarah Santon is in studio, founder and director of the CAPABLE program, which stands for Community Aging in Place, Advancing Better Living for Elders.
Yeah.
Allison Bridges is in the studio with us, senior occupational therapist for the CAPABLE program.
Good morning.
Monka Kimbeng is with us. She is senior nurse for the CAPABLE program.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. And Joyce Brumfield is with us, who is a CAPABLE program participant.
Hello.
And we're also joined by, on phone, Janice Lynn Schuster, senior writer at Alterum Institute, which writes about aging and healthcare, works for the Center of Elder Care and Advanced Illness to explore ways to make it safe to grow old, author of Handbook for Mortals, Guidance for People Facing Serious Illness. And welcome to the show as well, Janice.
Hi, Mark.
So we have a lot of really fascinating voices to fit into a half an hour. Let's see what we can do. And yours at 410-319-8888. So, Dr. Sand, let me start with you. Talk
sure.
a bit about the genesis of this program and what the heart and essence of it is.
Right. So I'm a nurse practitioner, and I've provided house calls throughout Baltimore City for years and found that the medical perspective of just focusing on people's diabetes, their congestive heart failure, was really limited. And I found that because I was in their homes and I could see how disabling their floors and their banisters and their houses were, that it wasn't just the medical conditions. But as nurse practitioners and physicians, we mostly focus on people's illnesses rather than their environment that they function in, when the reason we all want to be healthy as we age
right.
is to be able to function. It's not that our blood pressure needs to be a certain number. It's that we need to be able to move around our home, take care of our grandchildren, bathe ourselves, stand long enough to cook. And so I started thinking about what could we do to bring the environment to be more supportive to older adults while at the same time addressing their medical issues.
And I think because we've come to this world over the last 60 or 70 years where there's been this transition to this huge industry of nursing homes and mm-hmm. and homes for seniors to move into. And I think there are a lot of people in the generation who are now from their 60s to their 80s and a little younger who don't want that world.
Right.
They want a different kind of world to stay in place. And you write about this woman. I read about this woman in one part of your program who, which you talked about what happens in their in people's homes who had Parkinson's and
mm-hmm.
the tiles that have fallen
mm-hmm.
off and not being able to get up the steps and had to get into a bathtub without any railings.
Yeah.
And that part of the program is literally not just the nursing, but is changing
right.
the nature of the home to allow people to stay in the home.
Exactly.
That's part of the revolution here.
Exactly. What we say is that disability is the gap between what a person can do and what the environment requires of them. So if you think of someone like Stephen Hawking, who can only move his eyelids,
right.
the environment comes right up to him, and he can do what he needs to do with his eyelids. It's amazing. And I'm not saying he's not disabled, but someone living in West Baltimore who has difficulty walking around and has got holes in their floors and no banisters, their environment is not coming up to meet them. And so we go in with a nurse, an occupational therapist, and a handyman. We've got $1,200 budget for handyman repairs. So we modify their home to fit them, and we repair it based on what their own goals are, what their functional goals, what they want to be able to do in their lives.
And this is a national model that is being built right here in Baltimore
mm-hmm.
that the world is
mm-hmm.
looking at. And let me turn now to Ms. Joyce Brumfield, who joins us in the studio. You're part of the program. So tell me about your life and how what this has done to your life and how this has changed things for you.
My life has totally changed. The rails they put in, the light switch they put in, it helps me to move around in my home better. because I have a lot of pain in my knee.
Mm-hmm.
So they have really changed my life.
What would have happened, do you think, if this program didn't exist?
I had a hard time going up and down my steps. In my basement, it's been a year since I've been in my basement because there was no rail.
If you don't hold on to going downstairs.
In my basement to hold on to. There was only a wall, and I didn't go down. So my son would have to come over and wash my clothes for me because my laundry room is in the basement.
Right.
So my son, and I would have to get up on my stepladder to pull my light on in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is dangerous. Putting in a chain. Something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. My tub, getting in and out of my bathtub, to put a rail over where when I get ready to step in, I can grab onto it. Changed my life.
That's incredible. I think this is, before we turn to our other two guests here, let me turn to Jana Schuster on the phone. Because, I mean, what we need in America is this revolution in terms of what happens to us as we age.
Exactly. A revolution is a good way to describe it. And I think it's a revolution because the status quo isn't going to work for most of us. And so programs like this, Project Capable, really are revolutionary. They're forcing people to look at aging and disability in a completely different way and to really begin to understand how you can bridge all of these services to create a world where people can live well and meaningfully and on their own for much longer than they otherwise could.
And I think that, you know, this because also I think that our insurance policies, Medicare, Medicaid, in a very national way, have to come around to understanding that there are other ways than housing people in senior facilities that cost a great deal more money than this. I was going to say something, Dr. Sanders.
Yes. So our program is funded in two ways, and one of them is actually through the Affordable Care Act, and that is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services Innovation Center, which is doing exactly what you're mentioning. We are funded by Medicare and Medicaid as a test to see if we can both improve people's lives and cut costs. It's not enough to do either one by itself. We can't just cut costs and hurt people, mm-hmm. and we can't just improve lives and cost money because they are the payer, and they need us to save money. So we are actually, with participants like Ms. Broomfield, we measure exactly how much the nursing time costs, the occupational therapist time, and the handyman part costs, and then we are measuring the healthcare costs. And Capable costs about $3,000 a person. And the one hospitalization costs about $15,000. So if we can just avert one hospitalization for every five people we serve, we'll have saved them money. And because it's part of the Affordable Care Act, it's written into the law that they can scale this up nationally through Medicaid and Medicare if we find that we do save money while improving lives. So exactly what you said is what they're thinking.
Which I think is critical. Let me do it very quickly before we go back to Jana Schuster. Menka Kimbing, you are a nurse.
Yes, I am.
So how does this change your role as a nurse, and how does this affect the work you do with the seniors you work with?
So basically, Capable comes at function from the client's perspective, so it's client-directed. And so as a nurse going in there, it's not really what I think are their medical problems that I'm going to be addressing or helping them with. It's more we come to an understanding where they decide on goals to work on, and then during our time together, we start working and developing strategies to manage those goals and not thinking of what their problems are really, but we kind of incorporate their problems in managing, getting them to where they want to be or what they want to do. So,
And it's the same thing with as an occupational therapist, Allison Bridges. How's that? Because you think of occupational therapists as having to have a facility to work in to work with people.
Absolutely. And traditionally, that would be very true. And this is very non-traditional occupational therapy. So me going into a client's home is wonderful because I get to see them function within their environment. So what I would normally do I've been in the hospitals for 10 years. So it was a big adjustment for me to go from treating people with a diagnosis specifically to go in, treat them for whatever that was with my goals set on them. I come into the home and have the participant tell me what their goals are. We have 10,000 people turning 65 every day. So
Nationwide. Right.
So, you know, they're our only natural growing resource. So we really have to focus on what they're doing and how to keep them safe.
So do you think when you look at the long term, John Schuster, that that we can have this massive change in America in terms of what happens to us as we age and what that means for our families? I think about my dad, and he passed away at this cancer that hit him when he was 90. But
I'm sorry.
But up until that point, he was home. Mm-hmm. He never left his house.
Right.
And so I wonder what you think is going to be the future.
I think that if we don't have programs like Project Capable that help people do the things they need to do to be independent, we will really run into a huge system that just can't work for all of us. Because it'll be one thing to diagnose someone's diabetes or manage their blood pressure, but it's irrelevant if they don't have food and a safe house and medication management, all the kinds of supports that Capable is providing.
Absolutely.
Without those, people won't be able to age very well. So it's, I think it's essential to the future to have programs like this.
So I do think that it has to shift for all kinds of reasons. I mean, I think that the whole idea of homes has kind of gotten way out of control in America in terms of what it costs people, mm-hmm. what people have to give up just to move into a place,
exactly.
what they have to sell to get into a place. The conditions of most of those places, especially for poor and working people in America, are just outrageous. So this is
absolutely.
This alternative, I think, becomes that much more critical.
Absolutely. And
well, it helps people to live in ways that make them happy, and there's more to life than just having your blood pressure under control. If you're not able to do the things that you enjoy and want to do and give you meaning, then it doesn't really matter so much.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. You were about to say what, Dr. Sam?
Well, just throughout the country, different communities handle this differently, and there's just a smattering of good approaches in various places, and we really need to learn from all of those and put them together. And you asked about how we started Capable, and I talked about my house calls experience. That's where the passion comes from, but we also are building Capable on top of a successful program in Philadelphia called ABLE, mm-hmm. which is the last four letters of Capable,
right.
and has the occupational therapy part. And so I just want to be clear also that we took some of the best evidence that already existed, and then we added on nursing to deal with pain and mood and strength and balance and medication and the home repair.
We have an email that came in from Jeff Singer who writes, Dr. Santon is brilliant and one of Baltimore's unsung heroes. Housing is health care.
Absolutely.
And I think he's right. There's something – I mean, just to go around the room here again, but let me start again with Joyce Brumfield. I mean, there's something – psychologically important and empowering for those of us as we get older to know we're staying in a place that we love, that's our surrounding, that's our, that we've built over the years, that belongs to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can stay in our home. You know, we don't have to get up and move and go somewhere, some strange place.
Right.
You know, and they have really changed my life. You know, even the OT, where I would sit down at the computer for 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
she said, get up, move around, get the fluids moving in your knee. Little tips like that. You know, the more I move, the better I am. So it works.
So I wonder, from your perspectives as therapists, both nurse and occupational therapist, how does it change your dynamic to work with somebody in their own environment as opposed to institutionally in terms of your relationship and what you see in your work?
Well, it's an incredibly intimate, relationship because you're going into someone's home. They're opening up their home to you. So it already becomes this instant bond. And rather than go to see them in a hospital room, you don't get to know them. You don't
right.
see their environment. You don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And people... You know, from my own experience, people will tell you that they've been living independently, quote unquote, in their own homes when they may be really struggling. They think they're independent, but they're really struggling. And I don't know that until I actually go into their own home and I see what's going on and I see how they're using their environment. And little changes like I was Miss Brumfield's occupational therapist, just adding a chain to the ceiling fan so that she could pull her light on and off for the kitchen and the bedroom. She moved her bed. She and her son figured out, you know what, let's move the bed. They just rearranged a few things. It was much better.
Exactly.
And Monica, how about you as a nurse?
You know, as a nurse, it's the same story. You go into their homes and you actually see what they're doing. Say a a client might tell you that they're taking their medicines well, and they're taking it daily, but then you go looking at a medicine. It might be a medication that they need to take at nighttime, and so they're taking it in the morning, and they're feeling drowsy all day because that's one of the side effects of the medicine. An easy fix could be taking the medicine at bedtime so you don't have to be drowsy all day. So things like that you can only see when you're in the home with them and they're discussing it with you.
And speaking of home visits, the medical system sometimes says that home visits are, quote, too expensive.
Right.
Because you have to drive to get there.
Right, right.
But we think that they're a wonderful investment because you see what's really going on with the person in their own home, which is where they are, rather than in your clinic where they don't usually exist. And so I think expensive, it depends on your perspective.
But and I was thinking about what you were just saying here, Dr. Stanton and Janice Schuster. I've seen a lot of studies actually showing that the long-term costs of keeping people in their homes or with families will save the medical system
right.
millions and millions and millions of dollars over the course of time than we spend now.
Right. Especially, I was just thinking when you were talking, you know, if the lady had fallen off the stool when she was turning on her mm-hmm. ceiling fan, mm-hmm. then that would lead to a cascade of medical problems. Right. So by that one solution of putting a chain on the ceiling fan, you prevented that from happening. So it's a big investment in people's health.
And to point out, when people do have home care now, it tends to be after what we call an acute event. Something's happened, a heart attack or a mm-hmm. hip replacement, mm-hmm. and then they may get 4 nurse visits and 1 or 2 occupations.
Right.
But
right.
it's something acutely has happened, and they're getting over that specific pain. Capable is preventive. We come into your house when there's nothing. You might not think nothing's wrong, but work with you over time to achieve your goals and think forward toward the future to help you brainstorm other problems that might come up in the future.
So now, how limited? I'm sorry, about to say something?
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, please go ahead.
Janice, I also had to piggyback off of what you were saying. There's a lot of fall prevention that we do, too, and a lot of fall awareness that we promote as well, too. And I think that really helps because there are just a plethora of things that can happen just from one fall.
Right.
So many complications.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the cost from that alone
is
huge.
And we had one person who spent all of his days in a recliner with his sneakers on because he had been told, you cannot fall. The worst thing that can happen to you is you fall. And he didn't move.
So he was terrified to get out of the recliner.
Right. Consequently, he was very frail because he wasn't using his muscles, so he didn't have an appetite, so he didn't eat, which is a vicious cycle. And so we actually put people down into a fall on the floor and problem solve. Like we help them sit down and then lie down and help them problem solve. How would you get up?
Uh-huh.
And where would your phone? How would you reach it? And what would you do? Because we've had several people who, when we recruit them into Capable, they've had a fall where they've been on the floor for days mm-hmm. before someone finds them. And that's terrifying. So part of what Capable does is problem solve. What would you do if you did fall? And, of course, we're trying to remove the risk for falling. But we also try to support what they would do with problem solving for getting up from a fall.
So this is kind of an experimental program. How easy is it for people to access this program?
They can call today. We have 7 recruiters waiting every day.
Yes.
They go out, they enroll people in their homes. They can answer questions over the phone first, or we can take them literally today. And we would start next week. We are, between our 2 projects, we're enrolling 800 low-income Baltimore older adults in the next few years, and we enroll about 5 people each week.
So what would that number be?
That number, 443-287-1584.
1584. And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. This might affect you, people in your family, people you love. It could be you. It could be you who want to take advantage of it. Maybe have questions about how this works. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages, which I have not checked. I need to check. You can tweet me if you tweet, at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. So can you all conceive of this program going way beyond this 800, becoming something that's kind of universally accessible?
That's the goal.
That's the goal. And, in fact, the wise state of Michigan is already heading that way. Mm-hmm. They are going to pilot it with 20 people in what they call their Medicaid waiver, which is a waiver to Medicaid to help people stay out of nursing homes. And if that's successful, they're going to broaden it to 20,000 people in Michigan because they're already providing some of these services but in isolated ways, and they're impressed with the way of Capable puts the services together.
So, Janice, let me ask you this question. I'm curious how, in terms of everything we've been hearing today from this Baltimore program, talk to us about your concept of a caregiver corps.
Oh, that's an idea that emerged in a Twitter chat that we had. And we have this idea that people in America generally are so willing to serve each other, to serve their communities, to help one another out. And there's such tremendous need in every community for programs that help older adults and their families. And so our thought is if we had a caregiver corps where you could recruit young people, old people, retirees to serve in their own communities to help with things like this, like the handyman sort of repairs or help at senior centers, that you'd really tap into a lot of wealth of what young people have to offer, what older retirees have to offer, and what all of them can learn from the older people they serve. You would foster a lot of respect, intergenerational respect and understanding.
So, I can kind of hear in this kind of a marriage between these mm-hmm. kind of ideas.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
Yeah, and I think for the caregiver corps, part of the idea is also just to deal with some of the economic toll of the recession. So you give people meaningful opportunities to earn a modest stipend, to maybe find an employment path for themselves. And this kind of program where you're capable, where you're sending people to the home, to look at these kinds of needs beyond their medical needs. What are their social needs? I think that's a really important issue to address.
And for the so-called handyman part of what we do, we work with Civic Works, are an AmeriCorps site. And so there's always a young adult learning as an apprentice with a experienced contractor. And so we're getting an angle of that, of what she was just saying. So we hear sometimes that the apprentice, maybe on the first day when you say, why are you doing this, they may say, I just needed a job, or my mom told me to get out of the house. but that by the end, they are saying, I didn't know older adults lived like this, I didn't understand the challenges until now, and people have really transitioned. And Joyce actually has an interesting story about that with her own family.
Please, Joyce, go ahead.
My grandson was looking for a job, and when Civic Works came out, I was talking to them about my grandson. So he went over and had an interview, and he started in January working with Civic Works. Then I think it was in July, August, he moved over to Habitat. Mm. So now he's with Habitat. Not only that, they give them money towards education.
So he's part of the caregiver corps already.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so my second grandson is now, he started with Civic Works. Uh-huh. Now he's with Habitat.
I'm getting cut. So people thought the thing I was watching, I'm watching. I see. I got it. As Obama said, I got this. I got it. So I think this is they want me back saying I just never know with you. It's true. but I think this is a very important project, and I think that both this national model for caregiving that Janice Schuster is working on, and what we're doing here in Baltimore with this CAPO program, I think is very critical. I mean, to make this a model and to begin to change how we view aging and how we take care of ourselves and are taken care of. As this 21st century looms with its massive numbers of people who are going to be senior citizens.
The other thing, Mark, is that we will all, thanks to modern medicine and public health, we will all get to live much longer than previous generations.
Yes, we will.
So we'll be
we
facing
hope anyway.
Challenges that they didn't. Yeah, if we get lucky, that happens. But so we'll live to be 90 and we'll face challenges that were just previously unknown.
And right. Hopefully with a better quality of life as well.
Yes,
right,
hopefully.
Right.
This has been wonderful. So the number again for CAPABLE here in Baltimore to sign up and to tell your parents about, or you're listening and you are that person, is 443-287-1584. And we will have that number on our website at signershow.org and all the other information about both these programs and our guests and find out how you can get in touch. Again, 443-287-1584. And I want to thank Dr. Sarah Santon. It's good to meet you and have you in the studio.
Great
and the
to
work
be here.
You're doing
thank
in the
you.
Community. And our two therapists, Allison Bridges, occupational therapist, and Manka Kimbing, senior nurse with the program. Joyce Brumfield, who's in the program. Great to hear your story. Thank you for coming in the studio with us today.
Thank you so much.
And
thank
Janice Schuster, great to have you with us as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be connecting to all this work. And we are going out with When You're Around by Ethel Ennis, who will be here Friday and Saturday night with Cyrus Chestnut. They were on our first hour. Can't wait for that show this weekend. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Ennery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Tachera Smith. To hear the show again, find out information about our guests and the work they're doing and how to connect with them, and also to podcast shows, visit us at steinershow.org. You can also listen to them podcast our programs now on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, stay tuned for Michelle Martin and tell me more. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.